Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Barry Shoup, the former executive director, the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. And today we are going to talk all about seroprevalence. Prof, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thanks for having me. Yeah, we're going to talk about serology, serological studies, and seroprevalence. I hope we won't make it too technical. I'll try not to.
You've got a good way of explaining complicated concepts very simply. So go for it, Prof. What is it?
Okay, thank you. Well, all these words, serology, seroprevalence, they derive from the word serum. Now, serum is that straw-colored fluid. You know, when you take blood in a tube, in a test tube, and it clots, that straw color, that yellowish fluid is called serum after the blood is clotted. And it's a very convenient way, diagnostic way of looking for antibodies. Now, just to revise, antibodies are the proteins which you make when you're exposed to a foreign protein in your body. In this case, a virus. So when a virus gets into your body, your immune system is going to make antibodies to basically heal you and to protect you in the future from infection. So the diagnostic tests that you use, there are several which are used to detect these antibodies. The most common one is called an ELISA test. It's not a lady's name, ELISA. Well, it is a lady's name, but in this case, it's an acronym for enzyme-linked immunoassay test. And this merely looks for antibodies. There's the antigen which the antibody binds to in the test kit, and you just simply look for those antibodies. But if you want to look for antibodies which are protective, and this you want to do when you're designing a vaccine, you want to look for antibodies which are going to protect the individual after they've been vaccinated, you have to look for a specific kind of antibody called a neutralizing antibody. It's called neutralizing because those antibodies will neutralize the ability of the virus to infect cells. Now, that's obviously a very much more cumbersome kind of test. You've got to grow the virus up. You've got to grow cell cultures. You've got to add the serum and look for antibodies that are going to stop the virus infecting those cells. Now, this is only done, of course, in a research laboratory, but it's very important when you're designing a vaccine. You want to look for these neutralizing antibodies. But normally for diagnostic tests, for medical tests, they just look for simply antibodies, often using this ELISA test. Doesn't necessarily tell you that these antibodies are neutralizing or protective. But it's very important when you're looking for studies to see how many people have been infected with a virus, in this case, coronavirus. So you'll do a study, you'll take, this is what we call a seroprevalence study. This is very important from an epidemiological point. You want to see how many people have been infected with the virus, how extensive is the infection. And you take a whole sample of individuals, maybe a few hundred individuals, get their serum, and you see how many people have got antibodies, how many people don't have antibodies. Sounds very straightforward. The only problem with coronavirus, which is being found, is that not everybody does develop these antibodies. And many people, particularly those who have mild infections, they lose these antibodies sometimes a month after infection or 2 months after infection. So this is a bit of a problem. But what
Prof, is that different from a regular virus? Is that a different situation? In other virus cases, does everybody produce those antibodies?
Well, everybody will produce them. It just depends how long it's going to last. But what you do find with these respiratory infections, which are really superficial infections, they don't stimulate the immune system strongly enough, particularly in coronavirus when you have a mild infection. And therefore, the antibodies don't last very long. If you have a general infection which involves the whole body, what you call a systemic infection, like, for example, measles is a good example.
Yeah.
There, everybody will develop antibodies which will last for a long time, years, sometimes even a lifetime. So there's quite a difference between a respiratory infection, a superficial infection, and a generalized infection. And it's all to do with how strongly the immune system is stimulated or is provoked to actually make these antibodies. But there's been a bit of a problem with coronavirus and detecting them. But where they've done the studies, what they have found is that even in those countries which have had large-scale epidemics, United Kingdom and Spain and Italy and so on, the majority of people still don't have antibodies. And this is a problem because what it tells you is that a large proportion of the population are still susceptible to infection. They don't have the antibodies to protect them. And therefore, even after the first wave, and this is what we're seeing in many countries now, having second waves and third waves, because a large chunk of the population, the majority of the population, don't have those protective antibodies. Yeah. The virus is still there. It hasn't gone away. And it's just going to find those. If we start lifting restrictions and not wearing masks and physical distancing and so on, then the virus is going to amplify. It's going to increase, find those susceptibles, and then you'll have a second wave and a third wave and so on.
Which means, Prof, that you guys just need to find a vaccine, and sooner rather than later. That wasn't too technical, Prof. I understood it, and if I understood it, you did a good job. Thank you so much,
Simon,
as always, Prof.
Great. See you on Monday.
See you on Monday.